Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I got good. Real good.
Fires left side. Got a man there. Stevie catch. Touchdown!
Something was in my eye. The light was shining too bright on me.
Wait a minute. Let me write all these excuses down.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10, 5-yard line. Touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight joining Murph is Bills defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, VP of event operations for the Bills, Andy Major, West New Yorker and Colts wide receiver Jeremy Kelly, and from Hard Knocks, Ken Rogers. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium.
10-yard line, 5 into the end zone.
From St. John Fisher College, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're going to cover a lot of ground tonight. We are back in Orchard Park, back in our studio at One Bills Drive with a lot of ground to cover. You heard the roundup. You heard the lineup. What's coming up tonight? We're going to talk a little bit about the in-stadium experience and what changes for you as you're on your way to the game here tomorrow night. The Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to talk about the Bills' new defense with Mike Pettine a little bit later on this hour. We're going to talk about the new series of Hard Knocks on HBO. HBO's Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals. Ken Rogers, the supervising producer of Hard Knocks, joins us at 8 Live. And we're going to talk with a Western New Yorker, Jeremy Kelly, who I wish we would have had him on last week prior to the Bills-Colts game, but it didn't work out, mostly because of training camp. But Jeremy Kelly's going to join us at 8:30 tonight to talk about his bid to make the Colts roster, an undrafted free agent rookie wide receiver who will be joining us at 8:30 tonight. And we welcome your calls as well, and we're going to do it a little bit differently because coming up in just a minute, Andy Major, the Bills Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience, will be live in studio with us. They've got some new rules in effect, and we want to, if you have questions or comments for Andy, we will open up the phone lines. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us and follow us on Twitter. We'll take your questions there. The issues, you know, you may have some questions about the new bag policy, the seat cushion policy, parking, the police presence, all of those issues. Andy Major will address those issues. He's going to join us, as I said, about 7:15 or so, and we'll take your comments and questions for him. And we'll get to some more football talk as the show moves along tonight as well. In particular, we want to hear from you who you are most interested in seeing tomorrow night. Who are you looking for? Is it, in fact, Kevin Cobb, who gets the start at quarterback? Is it the young wide receivers? Another game from Marquise Goodwin, Chris Hogan. Is it the other cornerback opposite Stephon Gilmore? Who are you most interested in keeping an eye on preseason game 2 tomorrow night? We'll get to those calls after we finish up with Andy Major coming up in this first segment. But our first order of business is the rundown of the day, the news of the day. It is the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tire is the official tire of the Buffalo Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. Get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of 4 Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. The Bills on the field right now in a closed practice. No media, no fans on hand at St. John Fisher College. That's why we are here in Orchard Park tonight. They had a walkthrough in the morning. They had meetings, final prep work for preseason game number 2. They remain at St. John Fisher, and they'll stay there until tomorrow, at which point they will bus in here to Orchard Park around mid-morning tomorrow and get set to play. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. The Bills, with a little bit of a roster move today, they have released defensive tackle Aaron Tapodi, a rookie undrafted free agent. They reached an injury settlement with the defensive tackle. He signed after the draft April 29th, suffered an ankle injury August 5th, and was not able to take a regular turn in the defensive line. Aaron Tapodi released on an injury settlement today. Played in 43 games at University of California, 18 starts with 91 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 6.5 tackles for losses. Aaron Tapodi, scratch him off your Bills roster. He was released by the team today. Last night, the Bills had their final big tune-up practice for preseason game number 2 out at St. John Fisher College at Grounding Stadium. Huge crowd. I have to say, for a nighttime practice, that might have been the biggest crowd I have ever seen at Fisher last night. They were 4 deep along the rail overlooking the field. on the one side of the stadium. Four deep. And there were just fans lined up on the hill at the south end zone. There were fans all over the other side, the opposite side. Huge crowd at the practice last night. A pretty entertaining practice. And after practice, head coach Doug Marrone announced that Kevin Cobb is going to get the start at quarterback this week. Marrone was asked after the practice what he is looking to see from Kevin Cobb in the game on Friday night.
I'm just looking for him to play football, really. I mean, nothing specifically. You know, I just wanted to make sure he was healthy. I asked him if he was healthy, and I said, here we go, because, you know, obviously it's a competition, and we want to be equal, and I'm going to repeat it again. You know, I told him, I said, EJ, it's not a reflection of how you play. Actually, it's the opposite. We felt you played, you know, really well for a guy that just, you know, his first NFL game.
Is there an update on when Stevie might be back? Johnson?
I think we're probably going to get him back somewhere at the Washington week, and if we don't, that's okay, but I think that's the kind of goal we're just pushing for.
You have the timetable or the first stringers play roughly about what they played the first game?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the same thing. I think the guys that are injured, what our philosophy is, we kind of put them on a pitch count. Like, you know, I believe Scott Chandler will get some, you know, reps, barring anything happening between now and tomorrow night. So you'll see him in there. So those guys, what I call put on a pitch count. And as far as everyone else is playing, I like I said before, I always tell them, you know, be ready to play the whole game, because in injuries and special teams, if we have to put them back in there, you know, I don't want them to say, well, you know, coach took me out, then they had to put me back in, and I get injured. But, you know, we're going to play our guys, and each player is different, and we kind of take it, you know, individually, you know, and how much they have to play to make sure that they get themselves ready. Some players are different than others.
First time to be at Ralph Wilson Stadium on the sideline coming up here in a couple of days. It's still the preseason, but we're looking forward to maybe that experience in front of the home crowd.
Well, it's my first time being on the home side of the stadium. I've been at that stadium before as a visiting coach, as a player, and as a coach, and it's pretty awesome. And, you know, everyone that knows me knows I'm a big history guy, and I'm a little bit more old school at times. So, you know, you got some good old school fans, and you know, a good old school stadium that has great views for everyone, and you know, it's an exciting place. I mean, those guys get it going, so I'm excited about that for the players, but my focus will be on the field.
The biggest thing you're looking for from week one to week two, game wise,
you're looking for that improvement, you know. And I think a lot of times what happens is because, you know, there's so many different people at different times playing in the game. You know, obviously they're keeping score, so the goal is to win. But at the same time, from an individual standpoint, you're looking for separation. You know, there's a lot of other competition going on, you know, outside of just the quarterback, you know, for spots on a roster, depth chart, special teams, things like that. So, you know, you're looking for people to step up in those areas, and you're looking to see the progress in them. The coaching points that you've made and corrected, you're making sure they don't make those mistakes again.
That is head coach Doug Marrone after last night's practice talking about what he's looking for. And I think he's onto it there. And preseason game number two is always a little bit funny. Everybody always looks at preseason game number three as the big tune-up for the regular season. Everybody looks at number one as, you know, when you open the presents. I think, unfortunately, people look at preseason game number four as the throwaway game, but preseason game number two just sort of sits there. And I think Marrone's onto it when he says you're just looking for progress. You're just looking for, you know, continued improvement all over the roster. It's a great chance for Kevin Cobb tomorrow night to show what he's got. Cobb, of course, missed virtually all of last week when he injured his knee, making the switch from one field to the other at Fisher. And then, of course, he had to attend a funeral back home in Texas, missing most of the practice week last week. After last night's workout, after a couple of days of throwing the ball pretty well at training camp, Kevin Cobb met the media and talked about how he feels going into this game.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm excited that my body's allowing me to, and that coach is allowing me to. And like I said, I have a chance to get there and enjoy the fun with the guys and get this thing started.
How has it felt throughout the week? Better every day?
Yes. Obviously, yesterday was a big improvement for me. I felt my feet get back underneath me, you know, and was able to push the ball down the field a couple of times, and I was happy with it.
I know it's probably was nerve-wracking while you were away. What am I missing? This, that, and the other. When did you kind of just exhale and feel comfortable again, even from a mental standpoint, like, okay, I'm back in this competition thing, I can just go out and play football?
I guess whenever yesterday the reps were actually the way they were before, you know, I mean, coach kind of, you know, he saw me in individuals and said, hey, you're looking pretty good. And I said, I feel great. So we decided right there, you know, hey, let's go ahead and just push through like a normal practice. So once that mind frame, you know, sets in, then you're good to go. Now the next thing is the game, obviously, and preparing for a game and going 100 miles an hour.
Your mobility looks like it's back, too. I mean, Alex came at you yesterday and you ducked out of the pocket and rolled out like it wasn't a problem. I mean, that knee's not even a second thought at this point? Or?
I wouldn't say it's not a second thought. I mean, I still feel it here and there, but it's definitely not, I think, when the lights come on, you know, on Friday, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all.
Coach keeps stressing it's an open competition. So yeah. Is Friday your shot? Is that what to prove your point?
Well, that's one of them. It's obviously a big one, you know. We've had a lot of shots. We've had a lot of shots always starting back with OTAs, you know, and obviously it picks up as we go from here. And I just think, like I told you guys before, you can't focus on that stuff. You got to focus on what can I do as a quarterback? How do I get better? And you got to be coachable. And that's a big thing for Nate and our offense. And that's what I'm out here to prove.
All these receivers are new to you. Your two starters aren't going to be out there with you. To get a chemistry, is that going to be a difficult thing? Because you got to learn everybody right now. Because as I said, you haven't played with any of them before.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely wish, you know, those other guys were out there, especially Stevie with his style of play, you know. But you can't help injury, as we know, and those guys are proven, and they, you know, and they can make plays for you. We've seen it whenever they were out there. So I'm impressed with the guys that are behind them. Everybody's working hard. That receiving core is, we've got a lot of athletes and a lot of guys that are fighting for positions.
Kevin, with the time you missed, do you feel that you're caught up, or do you feel you're maybe a little bit behind or being away for a little bit?
Oh, I mean, I don't know that I can say one way or the other. I think once you miss time, you can never have that time back, you know, and you're definitely going to be missing out on something. You're definitely going to lose something. So it was difficult coming back after those 5 days and getting back in the groove of things. But like I said, yesterday was really a good day for me mentally and physically, and so I'm putting that week behind me and moving forward.
Moving forward, Kevin Cobb, Bills quarterback, at the start tomorrow night, and more on that coming up also. Speaking of quarterbacks, quarterback news from around the league as we continue our rundown. Tom Brady fully practiced today and expects to start and play in tomorrow night's New England preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Suffered a bruise to his left knee Wednesday in a joint practice with the Bucs. He trotted through today's session wearing a hinged knee brace, but he showed no limitation, a slower pace practice, and Brady is good to go. The Jets have decided that Mark Sanchez will start their preseason game against Jacksonville this weekend. It's been a rough week for Jets passer Geno Smith. Rex Ryan yesterday called his practice brutal. And on a Thursday conference call, Rex Ryan said he can't say if Geno Smith's nagging right ankle might force him to sit out the Jaguars game. So it's going to be Mark Sanchez at quarterback for the New York Jets. And Blaine Gabbert is going to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He'll start this week in the Jags' second preseason game. Coach Gus Bradley announced the move today. Gabbert's competition with Chad Henne continues. And there you go, the rundown of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown, brought to you by Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires, the official tire of the Buffalo Bills. Preseason home opener for the Buffalo Bills coming up tomorrow night right here at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And some changes that fans should know about. Joining us in studio is the Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience for the Buffalo Bills, Andy Major. Thanks for coming by, Andy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Murph. Appreciate it.
I didn't know if you knew where we were in the building here. I'm glad.
We learn quick around here.
Hey, we want to invite listeners, if you're coming to the game tomorrow or maybe down the road a little bit and you have questions about anything, the seat cushion policy, the bag policy, Andy's the guy to answer your questions, and he's in studio with us right now, and the phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, and you can always send in your questions via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. So a few changes, Andy, and let's start with the bag policy. It's a league-wide crackdown on the size and the type of bags that fans can bring in, right?
It is, a little bit. I mean, we've always looked at our processes every year. We take a look at what happened the previous year with the Bills and what happens across the league in the NFL. And we worked with the NFL on the policy this year. And league-wide, it's a clear 12-inch by 6-inch by 12-inch bag, or a 1 gallon clear Ziploc bag, or a small clutch purse or clutch bag that fits the size of your palm. You know, so that's a little bit different than what fans are used to seeing, but it really will help the process for the gate entry, and it'll help our security screeners and really move things along for fans trying to get in on time.
Because those screeners, if it's not a clear bag, had to what? Open it up and kind of rifle through and see what was in there, right?
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of funny because not everybody even brings a bag to games, so this really affects a smaller portion of our fans, but still, for the fans that are coming coming to the game that want to use bags, bring things in a bag. You know, this really addresses the ease of entry and our security screeners seeing what's inside to make it a quicker process.
You brought along an example of a bag like that, and actually has an NFL logo on the side. Those are readily available, I would think, all over the place. Huh?
Yeah, you know what? They're going to be available in the team store because of the new policy and the newness of the bags. They're back ordered across the country. So we've got a bunch of them coming in before the first regular season game. And, you know, season ticket holders are getting these mailed to them. We're also going to have a giveaway of these bags for the first game as well to kind of get the word out to fans. They can see what it's all about. And it's actually a pretty large bag when you really look at it in person. It's not quite as small as what fans might think about.
Andy Major joins us to talk about the fan experience enhancements. And if you have questions or comments, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. There's been some comment on the seat cushion policy, which changes this year. Tell us about the change.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the NFL came out with the policy about the bags, they rolled out a no seat cushion policy with that, and that was in the fine print. Well, we got calls and feedback from fans about the bag policy and saying, you know, we're okay with that. We understand it. We get it. We think it's fair. But the no seat cushion policy, this is Buffalo. You have metal bleacher seats.
We've
been sitting in these seats for 30 years, and now I can't bring a seat cushion. So we understood that. We really appreciated that feedback. And we had the same response as well with the NFL. So it's slightly adjusted. You can still bring a seat cushion. It just has to be a 15-inch by 15-inch seat cushion. It can't have any zippers or pockets or metal armrests, that kind of thing. So fans can still bring a seat cushion. The seat cushions we've been selling in the team stores for years are still valid. But I think one thing that came up from fans was those old Super Bowl seat cushions that from our days, our glory days in the 90s.
You would go to the Super Bowl, you'd get a free one on your seat. And those, they're great souvenirs, by the way.
Those are great souvenirs, but unfortunately those have the zippers and those have flaps, so those are not allowed in the stadium.
Anyway, I hope no one tried to argue that they were getting good karma from their seat cushion, that they thought there was a good luck charm, the seat cushion.
And sitting on them for probably the last 25 years, they probably don't have the same impact.
Karma's been worn out. Here's a call from Steve in Buffalo. Hi, Steve. Welcome. You have a question for Andy Major tonight.
Yes, I do. It's my understanding that electronic cigarettes aren't allowed to be used in the stadium. But my question is, sometimes I park further away and walk to a tailgate inside the stadium lots. And if I bring mine with me and I don't have a place to put it, are they going to stop me from completely bringing it in? The one I have is not really like one of the ones that looks like a cigarette. It's longer than that. It's got a little tank on it. And I just would rather know before I got there if I had to turn around and put it back in my car.
So are you talking about an electronic cigarette?
I am.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't allow those. And here's why. When you're out in the stadium and you're smoking an electronic cigarette or a fake cigarette, it's very confusing for the staff that are working the venue trying to do the right thing for the fans. So if they came up to you and said, oh, look, you do have a electronic cigarette, that's okay. Well, now you've got 50,000 fans that just watched our security person let you do that. And they think that we allow smoking and we made an exception. And who is that person? So across the league, and not just with the Buffalo Bills, but across the league, that's been a very tough one, to be honest with you. And we've just found that that's been an easier call to just not allow them.
Well, thanks very much for calling. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm okay with not using it when I'm in there. Perfectly okay with that. But, I mean, it's more like, you know how if you have a pack of cigarettes, if I'm just not going to use them, I'm just not going to use them. But I just want to know if I'm allowed to just keep it.
Would that be confiscated from him, an electronic cigarette?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, it would be confiscated because a lot of those are those metal, too, part of them?
Yes.
Yeah, so those get confiscated at the gates. You know, we've got the metal detection screening process now that the NFL instituted, and, you know, we're in year two of that as well. So this will be the second year we're screening for those as well.
Steve, thanks very much for your call. We've got Andy Major with us for a couple of more minutes. He's Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience for the Buffalo Bills. And if you have a question about these issues, 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Speaking of smoking, Andy, and drinking, the gate entry lines, it's an effort, I know, by the team to really streamline moving people in there. I mean, I've heard horror stories in years past of people who kind of get hung up at the entrance, the gate to the stadium, maybe miss the kickoff. You're trying to move people there through there quickly, right?
Absolutely. I mean, every year we take a look at this. Last year was no different than previous years. The metal detection screening process last year started out slow. It was the first year we ever did it. The first couple games were very slow and methodical. Fans weren't used to the process. By the end of the season, it was faster than the pat-down process. You didn't have to move ladies to men or men lines to ladies into lady lines, and males to males. Now anybody can go through the process, and it's real simple with staffing, with fans going through the lines. So this year, yeah, there's a couple of new changes, and I think the Bills are just saying we're trying to do the right things. We're listening to the fans. We're listening to what they want. And online, when you're waiting to get into the games, sometimes there's fans drinking, sometimes they're smoking, and they're right next to you, and there's a crunch of cans all over the concrete. So, you know, we tried to eliminate that process. No drinking, no smoking online. It's going to help expedite fans getting into the gate a lot quicker.
Here's a call from Kevin in Ontario. Kevin, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Andy, a question for you with going back to the seat cushion. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I find that the back of the metal bleachers is really cold on my back, even with my winter coat on. Now, my seat cushion has a fold in it. There's no pockets, but it folds open so the back and the butt are covered. Is that one legal to bring in?
No, it's not, unfortunately. I mean, there are other options. Obviously, the seat cushion piece of it is going to be fine. And what we've found some fans have been doing across the league in our research is obviously people can bring in blankets and other different items that we do allow. And mm-hmm. they use that for perhaps the coldness factor on their backs or on the seats. So that is a tough one, and that's a very good question, and I definitely appreciate the question on that.
But, well, two more points, if I
sure.
may. One, it's going to take a lot longer to bring a blanket in through security check than just a fold-open seat cushion. And two, the Green Bay Packers, what they did when this new policy came out is they issued a news article, and it had photos of all the ones that were acceptable
yes.
and all the ones that weren't acceptable
yes.
to help make things a little bit easier for the fans
sure.
coming in.
And
so I wouldn't mind if Buffalo released something like that, because
yeah.
I know last year bringing the seat cushion in, one guy didn't think I could bring it because there's ridges in it to help support it, but they're not metal. But he questioned whether I was allowed to. And yet the guy who sits next to me, who happens to be a lawyer, he brought the exact same seat cushion in, and he wasn't stopped or questioned at all.
He argued his way in.
Yeah, no, there's always going to be some inconsistencies, and that's part of what we try to do here with our training and the different team members that we have working on game day. And sometimes that can be a challenge for sure. You know, we've got over 2,000 team members working here each game. So the implementation of this for fans is just is brand new for our folks working out at the gates trying to do the right things as well.
Andy, tell me about the increased police presence plan for this season, including tomorrow night.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got 128 uniformed sheriff helping us out on game day as part of our team, and we're very excited about their addition. I mean, honestly, we feel they're going to provide a much safer, more secure feel to our environment and for fans coming to the games. And that's what we're just trying to do. You know, we're not reducing the number of security we have and replacing anybody. This is in addition to what we've already got. And the Bills are footing the bill on these sheriff, and we're happy to pay for them. And we know it's going to make a difference. We've seen the research across the NFL, and we see going to other venues. You go to, you know, Pittsburgh, you go to Heinz Field, you go to Green Bay, you go to New England, and of course New York, and anywhere we go, and there's uniform presence, there's sheriff, there's state police, local police, and they're all over the place. And their environments, in some cases, are much better than what we experience here sometimes. So we feel that's going to be a big help for us on game day.
There's a couple of enhancements going into effect this year, kind of similar. The town of Orchard Park has a new open container law, and the Bills are instituting a new a prohibition on binge drinking in the parking lots. Can you talk about those two?
You know, we say it's new, but, I mean, do we really want people to go crazy and berserk in front of our kids and our families where it's just, you know, it's just not a great experience? We just encourage responsibility. We're promoting responsibility. So we want fans to tailgate. We're not changing anything. Have a good time. Tailgate. Drink responsibly. Have a beer. But be responsible about the way you're doing it. And that way everybody's going to have a good time.
We've talked a lot about what people cannot do at the games tomorrow and the rest of the season. there's a lot they can do and a lot for them to do, including Kids Day tomorrow. I always love the Kids Day atmosphere at the stadium. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night.
Well, Kids Day is our most fun game of the year. I mean, if you ask a lot of parents and families that come to this stadium on Kids Day, they say, boy, we wish every home game was like Kids Day because so many people have such a good time. There's a lot going on. Yeah, there's a giveaway for kids, Buffalo Bills decals for their bike helmets, and we've got Billy Buffalo, the Jills. We got all kinds of partners set up. There's a halftime scrimmage with the youth football teams and from some of the local towns. So it's always a fun day. A lot of kids, a lot of fun.
Should be fun tomorrow, I think, throughout the season as well. We're going to try to get you in here on a regular basis before home games, Andy, to sort of talk about all of these changes as they evolve and what's coming up at the stadium that weekend.
You know, really, Murph, we appreciate it so much. We're trying to get the word out to the fans. We're trying to do the right things. We're just trying to promote responsible behavior. We want fans to have a great time at the games off the field. And you know what we're doing with the new era on the field.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it syncs up perfectly.
It's going to be great. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, John.
Andy Major is the Bills Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience. Coming up, defensive coordinator Mike Patton. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to Bills Training Camp, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and joining us, the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, Mike Patton. Coach, thanks very much for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Your impressions of preseason game number one last Sunday, what'd you think?
Well, I think it was a good start. I think we were very pleased with the effort, the energy, you know, how hard our guys played, how physical our guys were. And we have a lot of things to clean up, and you know, we were relatively simple scheme-wise. I didn't want to get too much into the scheme part of it, but coming out of it, watching the tape too, it was very few mental mistakes, which is another thing that we were pleased with. But I think the biggest thing to take from it was the energy and the passion that our guys played with. I mean, they were out there having a good time.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and not that I was surprised, but you don't always get that, I should say, in preseason games, especially with new systems. Guys might be tentative. You seem to found a way to get them flying around on the field in this new system.
Well, I think it's a credit to the staff. You know, I'm blessed with one of the best group of, you know, assistant coaches, one of the best in the NFL, and proof of that is how well the backups played. I mean, a lot of times when you have good players, you can kind of hide as a coach. You see some coaches that, you know, they got all first round picks. They're pretty good coaches. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you give them a bunch of down the line guys, and you find out what kind of coach they are. And that's why it just validated to me how good our guys are as teachers and motivators. That from the top of the roster to the very bottom, those guys that are fighting for those last roster spots, they all played hard. They got lined up. They knew their jobs. And like I said, that's a credit to the staff.
You said something interesting going into the first game, into the Indianapolis game, about not worrying about playing vanilla, not worried about showing your hand defensively in these preseason games. There's no value to that, to hiding some things, or maybe you do hide?
Well, we did. I mean, it's you know, going into a game like that, we're not going to carry a full inventory just for – I mean, a typical game plan during the season is going to be anywhere from 35 to 50 calls, whereas – our inventory currently in training camp is well above that number. So we definitely weren't going to carry everything. And, again, that's a matter of wanting to get our guys lined up and play. Now, with that being said, I mean, we still ran a good number of pressures. We didn't want to sit back and just be vanilla, rush four, and play coverage behind it. We still wanted to pressure, but it was just you know, a very limited call sheet from a pressure standpoint.
You did have some corner blitzes, something that we haven't seen a lot of in previous regimes here. Talk about that and your philosophy, I guess, of taking that chance to blitz a nickel corner typically.
Yeah, it's we haven't brought the outside corners much, but the inside, the slot corner, we've had a good amount of success with. We've always been blessed with having a good blitzer, whether it was Baltimore or whether it was back in New York. Having a good blitzer at that spot, and I think that's schematically, I think you need to have that you can, you know, that you can generate some free runs from that position at times and make some big plays, and then you know, with the talent we have in the secondary, the ability to a safety to kind of roll down and rotate down behind that pressure and still be able to hold up in coverage, that's a big thing for us. So nickel pressure will be a big part of what we do.
Yeah, I was wondering if the safety who has to roll over and cover is almost as important to that scheme as the actual blitzer in that sense.
And that's where we're blessed to have a guy like Aaron Williams who has corner, who has experience playing on the slot and experience playing outside as a corner. So, again, the versatility comes into play. Otherwise, you have to get in a situation where you – you flip the safety in the corner and bring the safety, and it's pretty obvious to the offense what you're doing. So I think we're blessed from a roster standpoint to be able to do that and disguise it.
In the Colts game, you had Mario Williams come free for an early sack in the game. When you look back at that, what did you see? How did he get free?
Well, it was a bit of a layup. I think post game the Colts admitted there was a cadence mistake. I think the left tackle and the quarterback weren't on the same page cadence wise. So Costanzo actually never got out of his stance. So we get in a situation like that, we tell our guys don't miss the layup. But again, anytime we're approaching a quarterback from behind, we're thinking football, and that was one of the things where I think he was going high over the top to strip the ball, and you know, those are the things that we hope schematically we can generate some of those free runs at a quarterback's back as blindside, or that we have pass rushers that can win to put us in that situation as well.
Mike, as long as you've been doing this as a defensive coordinator, how much do you change things up based on the video from a preseason game? I mean, you probably have ideas about what you've seen out here at practice. Now you get to see him against an opponent. And do you not go back to the drawing board, but do you kind of reevaluate certain players, what their capabilities might be, certain schemes, and how much you might want to use them?
Sure, because we're in the business of evaluating guys. I mean, the games are the most important thing. I mean, you can have guys that look great in the spring when we were in shorts. You know, look great in training camp, in the drill work. And then you get some guys, when they get to the 11-on-11, it just doesn't translate. What they've been able to show previously, for whatever reason, isn't there. And then you have the flip side of that, where you have guys that you're just not sure about. They don't look great in drill work. And even some of the stuff when you go against yourself, you know, they don't really show up, and all of a sudden it's game day, and these guys are jumping off the tape at you. So we put the majority of stock in our evaluation in the 11-on-11 work, particularly when it's against a different opponent.
Mike Patton, the Bills defensive coordinator, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills training camp. I want to ask you about a couple of, you know, down-the-roster type guys who, and one of the guys, when you talk about 11-on-11, we saw Chris White in the scrimmage out here over a week ago and then again on Sunday. Chris White seems to be making plays for a guy who's, you know, two or three with the inside, the middle linebacker spot.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I was just talking about, and we did him a disservice. I want to say one of the mistakes we've made here in the beginning is we actually had him as an outside linebacker in the spring. Then towards the end, it was a numbers thing, and we were kind of looking about how many inside backers do we want to carry into camp and how do we want to categorize guys. It was right at the end of the spring, mandatory camp, we said, you know what, Chris's best spot most likely is inside. And in hindsight, I wish we would have realized that from day one. And when we moved him there, I mean, you could tell he's a natural linebacker, bends his knees well, has good instincts, plays square, is physical. And it's evidenced by that he's a good special teamer. I know he was a good special teamer for the Bills a year ago, and that's a big role for him. If you're going to make the squad as a backup linebacker, you have to be a core teamer. But he's a guy that we've been very pleased with.
Everybody saw the play in the end zone by Kiko Alonso when he raked the ball out. What did you see looking at the video of Sunday's game from Kiko, and how is his progress, would you say?
I would say it was a typical preseason opener for him. He did some really good things, and then there were a couple things he needs to work on. There was one where he kind of stepped up into a gap where we were stunning a defensive lineman into. He needs to know what's going on in front of him, and he ended up losing leverage on the back that way. But overall, I was very pleased with him. It's hard to think of him as a rookie anymore. He's had so many reps in the system as the starter, out there calling the defense. And again, since everybody's new to the system, it's really they're all rookies in it when you think of it. So the play he made in the end zone was a tremendous one. I mean, we knew as soon as they went empty that they were trying to isolate the Mike linebacker with the tight end, and everybody on the sideline knew right where the ball was going. He made a heck of a play to get it out. It was, we were laughing at the film, and all the Colts fans jumped up and put their signal touchdown, and then sat right back down. So that was a heck of a play.
A week or so ago, you had great things to say about Alex Carrington, and I think it's worth repeating, maybe not exactly word for word, but I think Bills fans need to know, because Carrington's been around for a few years, has made most of his contributions on special teams for the last few years. What do you see in Carrington that leads you to think he could have, you know, a lot to contribute to your defense now?
Well, I mean, we have our saying, play like a Bill. You know, we want guys to be tough, physical, competitive, relentless, and I mean, you go right down the list. He fits every word. I mean, he's a guy that is passionate about football. So important to him, you can tell. He's good. As I said about Gilmore, I mean, Alex is a good player. He wants to be a great one, And I mean, he is a sponge from a standpoint of, you know, please coach me, tell me, help me. You know, what do I need to work on? And I think he's one of our best technicians up front. I think he's got great, real great pad level. I think if you ask the offensive lineman, you know, who's the best technically sound defensive lineman, I think Alex is going to pop up on that list more often than not as the top guy. So, been real pleased with where he is. You know, he's in a position where he's not going to make a lot of splash plays. Like a Mario or Jerry Hughes, as far as, you know, we're not going to, he's more of a, you know, he's not going to show up in the stat sheet as much, but those, you need those types of guys. I mean, he's going to be solid, dependable. You know, you can trust him. You can always do it. You know, we know he's doing his job. You know, if you take our grade sheets from practice and games and just go through all the plus minuses, I'm willing to bet that he's right up there at the top with the fewest number of minuses.
Mike, you have not seen, been able to see much from Leotis McKelvin. Is it your belief that when Leotis is healthy, you will plug him into that left corner spot?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah. I mean, again, his health is the primary. Is the primary concern, and we don't want to rush it back. He's a veteran player. A lot of the coverages we're playing, he's played. A lot of them end up turning into man coverage down the field anyway, and so we're confident in his ability, and what he flashed when he was healthy was something that we were very impressed with. So, again, we're just being very cautious with it, and then hopefully we can get him back on the field pretty soon.
What about the guys behind him? You've used Ron Brooks. You've used Kristen Butler. Just talk about the depth that you might have at corner.
Yeah, it was good. We've had some of those guys show up that have been forced into playing, and you know, Brooks especially, or whether it's Roby, those guys are all you know, you saw the play that Roll made in the game. Yeah. I mean, and the style of defense we play, those guys are on their own a lot.
Mike Patton, our guest, the Bills defensive coordinator, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. As you move through this preseason, does your approach change at all? Do you set different goals? Does there, you know, people traditionally say preseason game number three is the real tune-up game. Do you look at it like that as you move through these preseason games?
Yeah, we're pretty traditional that way. Our biggest thing is making sure that we're doing whatever it takes in the preseason to be ready for the opener. So we don't want to. We don't over scheme for the preseason games. It's basically we're always kind of one eye ahead on the opening game, and that's the most critical thing. So if you have guys that are, you know, on the fence from an injury standpoint, that have a little nick here and there, that we always want to be very cautious and make sure that like I said, the big thing is having them there week one.
Mike, thanks, we appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mike Patton, Bills defensive coordinator, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from Bills Camp. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Mike Patton is a great interview. Now I sound like Jim Rome. He's an intelligent guy.
It was epic.
It was epic. It was great. What a great interview. No, Mike Patton is, I love talking. I like talking to Nate Hackett too, but Mike Patton, if you're listening, you get stuff. You get a lot of stuff. And if you missed the interview with the Bills defensive coordinator, you can check it out later. We'll post it at buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. But, I mean, he's just got stuff to say. Good stuff about Chris White, I thought. And he admitted we missed cast him earlier on as an outside backer. He's an inside backer. Good things to say about Alex Carrington, and incisive, intelligent things to say about Alex Carrington. I feel pretty good about where the Buffalo Bills defense is with Mike Patton at the helm. And we thank him for joining us on the show tonight. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about HBO's Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that yet. I caught episode one. Episode two came up this past Tuesday. I was down at camp, but it really is must-see TV for NFL fans during this time of the year. Only five episodes. We'll talk with Ken Rogers, who is the producer of HBO's Hard Knocks. And also next hour, Jeremy Kelly, wide receiver, undrafted rookie free agent with the Indianapolis Colts. Name might be familiar. He is a West Seneca West graduate, played his college football in Maine. He has since played at in the Arena Football League and in the Canadian Football League. He actually used to run with the Lockout Bills a couple of summers ago all around Western New York. He used to practice with them in an effort to get into the NFL. Got a good chance now with the Indianapolis Colts. Played against the Bills a handful of plays last Sunday in Indy and still hanging in there trying to make that roster. We'll talk with Jeremy Kelly coming up tonight at 8:30. So that's it for hour one. Stick around. One more hour to go with a lot more information to come. We'll talk more about tomorrow night's game and what you're looking for in tomorrow night's game next hour as well. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half.
time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
How did he do it? How did he do it?
I want to tell him, hey, I'm kicking your butt today. It's just something good to do, you know.
You say so.
Yeah.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
I know you're a future Hall of Famer, baby. I'm trying to get in your head. You gonna let me?
Touchdown, Buffalo. We're going back and forth all day.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show. We've got preseason game number two coming up tomorrow night. We'll be deep into the second quarter by this time tomorrow night. And as you just heard, you can catch that game on this radio station as we bring you live play-by-play of the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. Myself, Mark Kelso, Joe Biscaglia on the sidelines. Looking forward to that. We are deep into preseason now, into the training camps. And there's one TV show that really opened up NFL training camps when it premiered back in 2001. HBO's Hard Knocks. This year, it's Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals. Joining us on the line, the supervising producer for Hard Knocks from NFL Films, Ken Rogers. Ken, thanks very much for coming on the air with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
I read a quote attributed to you. You say, Hard Knocks is the toughest thing we do at NFL Films, and it's the thing we love the most. That sounds like a great combination.
That's true. You know, Steve Sable used to say it's the Super Bowl before the season starts for NFL Films, and it's really the case. It's the most difficult thing we produce on a yearly basis because of the scope, following 90 characters on the team plus the coaches, and the turnaround because we follow those players and coaches for 7 days leading up to the air date, and whatever happens, happens. So we go into it not really knowing what's going to be on air a week later, and we shoot 300 hours per week to just find that one great hour of television. So there's a lot of sifting, a lot of nerve-wracking moments in the edit rooms here. There's over 100 people that work on the show total. It's a really huge undertaking to put something on the air this quickly. It's also, we hope, quality television.
Hard Knocks in its eighth season with five episodes this year with the Cincinnati Bengals. It airs Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on HBO. I think, I assume that most football fans have seen Hard Knocks. They're aware of it. But how would you describe it? It's reality TV, but, I mean, it's more real than most reality TV, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah, you know, that term has somehow been a little bastardized. Yeah. I mean, at some point in television history, giving a bunch of kids a mansion on the beach and letting them drink their faces off became reality. I don't know. I mean, that might be the reality for some people. It wasn't for me when I was that age. But we really take a pride in this being a documentary program and having it be true to life. And again, another quote from Steve Sable used to call it training camp a crucible of emotions. I mean, everything is there. And if you watch the first show of the series this year, you have these incredible highs where these players are really enjoying great drills and rookies, you know, going out to practice for the first time and being part of an NFL team. And ultimately by the end of training camp, making an NFL squad and, you know, fulfilling their dream. And you have these equally incredible lows that really just are heartbreaking. And in show one this season, we have an undrafted free agent who breaks his leg and his season's over before it really got started. And I think people really respond to the show because they see players as men and realize that they might be, you know, superstars on Sundays and we all might cheer for them and think they're bigger than life. But at the end of the day, they're trying to hold on to a job like all of us are. They're trying to prove themselves in their job like all of us are. And the emotions are high and low and heartbreaking and heartwarming all in one episode. And that's what happens when you have that many people on a team all fighting to come together to win and also to earn a spot.
Our guest, Ken Rogers, supervising producer for HBO's Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't want to get into too much inside baseball here, Ken, but it is pretty amazing the short turnaround you have. Can you give us a sense of what the timeline is like to produce these five episodes, to produce each of the five episodes?
Yeah, it's it starts probably on a Monday or Tuesday and goes for 7 days until it airs on Tuesday night. And the footage comes in over a dedicated internet pipeline that we have set up coming from Cincinnati to NFL Films here in South New Jersey. And it never stops. I mean, if the players and coaches are at the stadium, which those of us around teams know is all the time, coaches seem to never leave, and players have a full schedule every day during training camp. When that's happening, Hard Knocks is happening. I mean, we're there to document everything, so we don't want to miss anything by, you know, being off, taking a break. We're there shooting and sending the footage back to NFL Films to edit as we go. So every day I can tell you at the end of the day what happened at training camp with the players that are wired, because it's back here fairly quickly, within 2 or 3 hours of being captured. And that's been useful in things that happened late in the process. I remember in 07, Larry Johnson signed very late in the show. It was a Sunday night they made air. Unfortunately, Chad Johnson last year getting cut from the team happened on a Sunday, and we had to still make, you know, have that be part of the show. The NFL news cycle moves very quick, and we would not be able to show the footage from the week one preseason game in week three of the preseason. It's old news. I mean, there's so much coverage of the NFL and of any team that it has to be immediate. And that's the big challenge of the show. And that's also why I think people respond to it. They're seeing something that literally happened a day or 3 or 5 days ago. This isn't a recap of a season that NFL Films is known so well for. This just happened, and you're the first to know about it when you watch this program.
I saw the great quote from the late Steve Sable talking about the production of Hard Knocks, who said, it's like trying to build an airplane in flight. Is that right? Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, he had a lot of analogies for the show, and that's one in that you don't know when you enter a week. I can say all I want that here are the people I think are going to be interesting this week, because they're, you know, we're focusing a little bit more on them, or they're in a position battle, or we're interested in their story leading up to this game. And all that goes out the window. You have to build the show based on what actually happens, not what you think might happen. So it all goes away. And you just have to keep flying the plane. I mean, you have to put it together as it goes. There's no choice. The plane's in the air. The show has to air a week from now. They can't put black screen up on HBO at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night. They need a show. So whatever happens, it's our job to make that television show interesting to fans of any NFL team. And I think that's something we really think about a lot, is what will just general NFL film NFL fans get from NFL Films when they watch this show? You don't have to be a fan of the Bengals. You can just love football and learn a lot about the game and the people who play it by watching.
We're on the line with Ken Rogers, supervising producer of HBO's Hard Knocks. He is a producer at NFL Films. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. You do get total access to everything, right? Is there anything off limits? Do you surrender editorial control at all to the teams when you sign on for this?
You know, there's no limits to what we're able to shoot, and that's sort of necessary for a show like this, because there's no time to try to figure out where we can and can't go. We've been shooting training camps for almost 50 years. I mean, Steve Sable and his crew started shooting with Vince Lombardi in the mid-60s at training camp, and there's a funny story of how Vince Lombardi had Steve shoot practice one day, and at the end of the day said, you better come back tomorrow. And Steve said, but Coach Lombardi, I'm out of film. We shot all our film today. And Lombardi said, I don't care. Come back with no film in the camera. Just act like you're shooting my players, because they never practiced harder than when they thought the cameras were on.
Wow.
And ever since then, we've really been trusted to be everywhere. We know when to go where. We know when to get out of the way. We're a very small footprint, but it's because we're allowed to go everywhere that we can have a small footprint. There's only 5 crews with 3 people on each crew. It's not a big Hollywood production with jibs and cranes and things going all over the field. It's very small footprint. The only thing that we've ever given teams leeway on, and it's perfectly understandable for any team, is competitive balance. We don't want to affect. So the team watches before it airs to make sure that there's no audibles or hand signals in the show that other teams could pick up on and hurt the competitive balance out in the field. After all, that's not something NFL Films or any production company would want to be involved in affecting.
Right.
We're there to show you about the people and the team building process, not give tips on how to stop this defense in week right. one.
How did you wind up with the Bengals this year, Ken?
You know, it's a very complicated algebra of how to find a team, and a lot of teams are considered every year, and it really comes down to, I mean, if you were to think about all the variables of a team, it really does come down to rating what the best combination is on any given year. Do you want a new head coach? Well, we had that last year with Coach Philbin in Miami. That was interesting. It was something new that Hard Knocks had never done. We thought we'd love a strong coaching staff, and the Bengals has one of the strongest in the league with Mike Zimmer and Jay Gruden and Hugh Jackson, who was a head coach of Oakland. They had an exciting draft class that's already showing off a lot of skill on the field and are expected to take the team to the next level, and a bunch of veterans who a lot of people don't know nationally, the Geno Atkins, AJ Greens of the world. I don't think a lot of people have been exposed to them and who they are as people. They've seen their names on jerseys. So the combination of those, really, they were among the very top of people we were considering. And the Bengals have always been great in allowing us access, which is necessary for this show. And it just seemed like a natural fit.
Had the Buffalo Bills ever been considered? Were they considered this year, Ken?
You know, we consider every team every year. We don't really get into the process of the selection process or anything like that, but we really do take a hard look at every team and where they're at in their history and how Hard Knocks could help expose them to a larger fan base and how it can help motivate the players to, you know, to be ready for the bright lights that are coming their way. Certainly, if you listen back to that story I just told about Lombardi, I think that's something that some coaches who've chosen to do Hard Knocks have used as a benefit and say, hey, my players, I want them to be ready when it comes to be fourth and two in the playoffs with a minute left. If they can't handle a little bit of camera time in the preseason, what good, you know,
yeah.
How are they going to handle that playoff pressure? So when a team is ready and we're ready for them, it's usually very obvious, and both sides say, hey, this is a great thing right now. Let's do this. And there's a lot of reports out there about which teams do and don't want to do it, and we just prefer to just keep that all in-house because there's a lot of discussions that happen all throughout the year about all of our programming.
Yeah. Again, I did not see this week's episode. I did watch episode one this year, and I have to confess going in, I thought, well, the Bengals train right there at their downtown Cincinnati complex. They're not at some, you know, faraway remote college campus. I don't know about this one. And yet the visual image of those green practice fields under right next to the stadium, underneath those overpasses with the bridge and the river right there, it's very appealing, I think, to watch this Bengals camp. What do you think?
Yeah, there is something interesting. That certainly helps visually as compared to some camps. But I still have to say in my heart, I do prefer going away to camp. I think there is something, and it's certainly going away around the NFL. There aren't many teams that go away anymore like the Bills. But the going away just gives this camaraderie that I've noticed on the show that isn't there quite as much when you're in your hometown and you're familiar. When you're locked away in a college dorm room, there's a camaraderie that's built there that I think really comes out on screen. And we enjoy being there and not having the distractions of home, I guess you would call, when the players are nearby, everything they're familiar with. So we love going away, but you're right that Cincinnati's been really, a lot of people have commented, especially from Cincinnati. I guess if you're from a town, you don't see the charms of a town that you live in. But we've had a lot of people from Cincinnati say, hey, our town's never looked better. This is great. Like who knew that our city was so beautiful along this river here and this architecture and stuff. And you know, I think that would be the case no matter where we filmed. Our job is to make the city and the team and the players look just what they are, which is really great. I mean, the NFL is a great sport with great guys playing it and coaching it, and we have no problem showing that off.
Hey, Ken, over the 8 years of Hard Knocks, it's been demonstrated the program has star-making capability, doesn't it? And I think back to Rex Ryan a couple of years ago and his, you know, let's go eat a snack speech. I mean, you can make a star out of some of these NFL guys.
It certainly has happened, and I think that just speaks to the interest that people have in this league right now and how beneficial this one preseason program can be to a franchise. I mean, this is a time of year where everyone is itching for football, and to be honest, they don't get quite that much meaningful football out of this time of year.
Right.
Everyone's itching for the real stuff to happen. So when you see what's happening in training camp, it's so much better than just watching a regular preseason game and seeing some, you know, players out there on the field. When you hear what they're saying in those games and you see what they're studying in the classrooms and you see what they're going through in their personal lives, it makes stars out of people because everyone loves the NFL and the people who play it. And I think every franchise has really benefited on a national level for exposure. And that certainly happened to some players and coaches who otherwise wouldn't have been remembered. I mean, from Danny Woodhead when he was with the Jets, to big names like Chad Ochocinco, who, you know, just became a megastar after being on the show, and Rex Ryan became, you know, I think everyone in Hollywood wanted Rex Ryan to be in their film after he was on Hard Knocks and showed such personality. And it doesn't have to be a loud personality. I think Coach Joe Philbin last year really came off as a guy that you knew nothing about going into the show, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, this guy, although professorial and studied compared to Rex's bombastic nature, you got a real great feeling out of that and say, hey, I like this guy. I would play for this guy. He might not be as loud as Rex, but he knows what he's doing. And I think he became sort of a bigger name than he would have been just coaching the team. I think the show helped expose what he was trying to do there in Miami. And we were glad to show that.
The Bills have one of your Hard Knock stars in camp, Chris Hogan, 7-11, who says he still hears from people. In fact, somebody at training camp the other night said, hey, Hogan, go get me a Slurpee, one of the fans on the sidelines.
That's true. He's another one. And there's, this year we have, in the episode we just aired, we have a fairly rare return of one of those guys in John Connor, the Terminator, who was with the Jets in 2010 and is now with the Bengals trying to make that team. So this most recent episode had Terminator 2, the return of John Connor. So, these guys could become little, cult heroes. And I think it's a great benefit, especially for the young guys who don't have superstardom and are trying to make a name for themselves. I think it gets them recognition for their play and gives them more chances in the NFL world because of that recognition.
Hey, Ken, I don't want to keep you much longer, but I heard Bill Polian, who's, you know, a friend of ours and kind of an old school football guy, he was talking about Hard Knocks and actually singing the praises of the Bengals opening up their doors to Hard Knocks. But he did point out this, and I think it's an interesting point. It's not so much what, the access that the Hard Knocks cameras get, but it's what some media may take out of that access. You know, an aside comment from a coach or a player, you know, chiding another player. He said there's some media who will take that inside access and sort of use it for their own purposes. Maybe not that week, but sometime down the road a little bit. Do you find that to be a concern among teams?
Not really a concern. I think that's something that teams deal with all the time. But I do know what Mr. Polian is saying, and that's because we strive very hard to not be a distraction, but the distraction comes not from us making Hard Knocks. If there's any distraction, it's the fact that, well, everyone's watching it.
Right.
And, you know, there's definitely a dual desire going on within organizations that it's completely understandable of, we want to be known and we want to sell tickets and we want to be a popular franchise. But at the same time, we don't want to be known at all. We'd rather just be under the radar. Keep expectations low. Don't have anyone think about us. Don't have them plan for us. We'd like to surprise everyone. And I think the more they're on big name shows, the more the media might ask them about things. But I think it's benefited some teams. I mean, I think the Dolphins needed to get their message out to the media, and it was worth any sort of nitpicking that the media or fans might have about what they saw on the show. It was worth it to get the message out there that this is a new regime. This is a new Dolphin team, and we're going to bring back the glory years. I certainly remember in 2009, the Bengals, when they appeared the first time, were coming off a 4-win season, and they just wanted to change the national dialogue about the Bengals. It was needed, and they were excited to be on Hard Knocks, and it's just coincidence. We had nothing to do with them winning, but they changed the dialogue in the preseason and then went on to be undefeated in their division and go to the playoffs and win their division for the first time in years. So, can there be nitpicking? Absolutely. And Mr. Polian's right. But we've always felt for the franchises who've done it, the benefits have always outweighed any negatives.
I'd ask you what's coming up on next week's episode of Hard Knocks, but you don't know, do you, Ken?
I know about half of it because we're about halfway through the show.
Okay.
But you have no idea, you know, what the best 55 minutes of material will be. So this is the week in camp where the young guys really have to prove themselves, because next week in the third preseason game is traditionally a game where the veterans play a lot more of the game and really get warmed up for the season. And by the fourth preseason game, a lot of the decisions have been almost made, and it's your final tryout. This is the week where the players who didn't prove themselves in week one really have a chance. And it's a big week for those guys on the bubble this week, and that's some of the storylines that we'll be following, along with, you know, the rookies and that were drafted high who are still trying to learn the game, and the veterans who are trying to learn what it takes to take this team over the top and take them all the way.
It's great television, Ken. We thank you very much for coming on the show with us tonight to talk about it.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
Ken Rogers, he is supervising producer for Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals this year on HBO. It airs on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. A couple of episodes already aired, and you can, I think, access those if you have HBO on demand, and three more episodes to come. Ken Rogers joining us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway Restaurants with a special offer for Bills fans. When the Bills score 20 points or more at home this season, you can visit BuffaloBills.com after all the home games at Ralph Wilson Stadium for details. Subway. Eat fresh. We'll take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk with a player in camp with the Indianapolis Colts, Jeremy Kelly, trying to win a roster spot. He is a West Seneca West High School product. We'll talk with Jeremy Kelly when the show returns. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, tonight from One Bills Drive. Last Sunday, the Bills in Indianapolis, we got a chance to see, obviously, the Bills play pretty well. Also got a chance to see a native Western New Yorker on the field for the Indianapolis Colts trying to win a roster spot with the Colts. He joins us now. Wide receiver Jeremy Kelly, West Seneca native from West Seneca West High School. Jeremy, thanks very much for coming on the show with us tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to see you out there competing. I know this has been a long-time dream of yours, and you bounced around trying to get an NFL shot. Tell us how you got this shot to try out and go to camp with the Colts this year.
Man, God's grace and hard work. I was actually working at the new LA Fitness down in Buffalo, and I got a phone call, and as I was walking into work, and turns out it was the Colts. It's on a Friday. They asked me to come out for a workout on Monday, so it was short notice. You know, good thing I had been staying at it, and the rest is history. I came here, did what I needed to do, and got the contract. So.
And this was back in January, right? They signed you
this
to a reserve.
Back in January, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Pretty cool story. And you've had, obviously, a long journey to get even where you are now. Jeremy, I'm sure our paths crossed when you were picking up awards at Dick Gallagher's annual high school football banquet. You were winning all those awards at West Seneca West, right?
I don't know. Actually, you know what? I talked to Dick about this. Dick, you know, I never really got the respect I felt I deserved. but no. Dick and I are good friends. And to be honest, I never really received a whole lot of accolades. I got some here and there, but, you know, it didn't really matter a whole lot to me. I had what I wanted, and that was a college scholarship. So, you know, that's what counted.
I read when you started at West Seneca West, you were playing quarterback for a couple of years there, right, before they switched you?
I did. But you know what? I was I could throw the ball a mile, but I was too clumsy to take two steps to hand it off. So I got beat out at that spot. And then it came down to we had another quarterback who could get it done, but we didn't have anybody to throw to. So seeing that I was like 6'5", you know, just throw it up in the air, let me go get it, kind of. It was simple math, you know.
And what got you to the University of Maine? What got you down there to play for the Black Bears in Maine?
That's a good question. I still don't know. No, when rain first came, I was like, I'm not going anywhere colder than Buffalo. But when I took my visit, I just loved the people there. I loved the coaching staff and the group of guys. The team was real tight, and I kind of just fell in love with it. And I would, if I had to do it over, I would choose the same university, absolutely.
You know, Jeremy, and I looked at the numbers. You were a receiver at Maine, but over the 4 years there, what you had a total of, what, 13 catches over 4 years? That's it?
That's it. I was actually there for 5 seasons. And, you know, it's a credit to my own inconsistency, actually, to be honest with you. A lot of ups and downs through college. You know, you're getting pulled a lot of different directions. You know, I felt I was capable of absolutely playing and being on the field, and I started and didn't start. But I kind of just found my niche on special teams, and I knew I just wanted to be on the field any way possible. And when it came down to it, you know, and I wasn't playing receiver my senior year, I said, you know what? Let me go play defense. So I played some defensive end my last year there. And, you know, I just walked out to practice with a defensive jersey on one day. No one said anything. The defensive line coach was excited. And the next week I started. So, you know, I was doing a little bit of pass rushing off the edge. But, you know, it was the same as special teams to me. So, you know, I just did what I needed to do to get on the field.
Jeremy Kelly is our guest wide receiver, free agent, undrafted wide receiver in camp with the Indianapolis Colts, Western New York native, West Seneca West High School. Jeremy, I know when you got out of Maine, you spent a lot of time working with, and maybe even before you got to Maine, with Demaryius Johnson. And he seems to be like a guru here in Western New York of trying to help guys get to the NFL, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I first met Demaryius when I was playing West Seneca Little League football, and his son, Dez, who's my best friend, Desmond Randall, they came and we played on the same Little League team. And I remember Demaryius, you know, he was a receiver who played for the Dolphins, who was my childhood favorite team, you know. So to me, I was just like, oh, this guy is God, you know.
Yeah.
But as Des and I grew up and we grew closer, I was around their family a lot more. And Demaryius literally just took me under his wing and molded me as a man, you know, as a person, and especially as a player. He's like, you know what? He's like, you need to be a receiver. You could be a great receiver. And had me on the field running routes over and over and working and, you know, in the weight room and training. He's my trainer. He's my pastor. You know, he's everything to me. I consider him a father. He considers me a son. So he is definitely a guru, you could say.
Yeah, Demaryius has done a lot for a lot of kids here in Western New York. And when you were working out with Demaryius, didn't you work out with the Gronkowski brothers as well?
Yeah, we had quite the group when we first started out. Training back at West. I mean, Mike Williams was coming out, all the Gronkowski brothers. We had, you know, Paul Harris used to come out, Johnny Flynn. Wow. I mean, you could go back. We had some top grade A athletes out there training with us. And, you know, obviously everybody else went and excelled and kind of dispersed amongst different places. So it's been tough the past couple of years, but been fortunate enough to have some guys and make some connections that are playing at a high level. They're still training with when I am back at home. So it's been good back in Buffalo. We got some athletes.
You know, Jeremy, I was talking to Bob Lamy, the Colts play-by-play guy, before the game Sunday, and I told him how you reappeared on my radar screen 2 years ago when Ryan Fitzpatrick and Lee Evans in that during the lockout, the summer, and it was before the lockout had ended, they were kind of practicing at Orchard Park High School quite a bit. You were part of that group that went to OP High School and worked out with them, right?
Yeah. You know what? I'm not to take all the credit for it, but I'm good friends with John Corder, who was the safety for the Bills at the time, and, and I was just looking on TV, you know, as a guy trying to get into the league with the whole lockout going on. I was like, man, get your team up here. You're the guys are the only team that seems like they're not together. And we had a facility that, you know, indoor facility with the weights and all that stuff where the guys could work out for free and whatnot. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, man, John made some calls and got the leaders of the team together. And we had, a lot of the Bills guys. It was like 60-something players up there working out together. So for me, man, it was just great to be around, you know, high-level athletes. And obviously working with Fitz all summer long and Lee, you know, getting his tutelage and the rest of the receivers as well. It was, man, it was priceless. It was really good.
And the lockout, although you got that chance to work out, the lockout kind of hurt you, didn't it? Because I remember you couldn't sign with anybody. The league kind of threw things together once the lockout ended in late July. You really didn't get a chance to sign with anybody and get like an off-season worth of work before you can go to a camp.
Yeah, you know what? It did. It did. And all it kept, you know, I could think of was, man, what a year to come out of college, you know, during this whole thing. And I had put up some pretty decent pro day numbers. They were very good, actually. And all that buzz was killed by that time that was, you know, just wasted through the lockout. So when it came down to it, all the buzz that I created from the different teams and whatnot kind of just went to waste. And, you know, I just decided the CFL team that had called me back, I was, you know, you can only train and lift some weights and run around the track for so long, man. I had to play some ball and strap it up. So they called from up north, and I was there. Then I went to go play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and that was a great opportunity.
Yeah, how'd you like Canadian football with Hamilton?
You know what? I loved it. I loved it because, like I said, it was a great opportunity to play ball and get my feet wet at the pro level, you know, especially three downs as a receiver. It's all passing for the most part, you know, so I definitely enjoyed that. And it was close to home too, up in Hamilton, only 50 minutes away, so my family could come to see me. So it worked out very well. You know, it was a year there, short period of time, but it served its purpose.
And then you spent last season in arena football, the Utah Blaze. How was that experience?
Man, you know what? That was actually extremely fun. People always ask me what I like better, Canada or arena. And you know, you're going from one extreme with the largest field in football to the smallest. So it's a completely different game, a lot faster, but a lot more exciting, and I enjoyed it, man. Again, it was all passing. We had a great quarterback, and we were just eating defenses up, breaking records. So that was a lot of fun. Salt Lake City, Utah is a gorgeous place to be. I almost stayed out west, but, you know, being an East Coast guy, got to come on back.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, but and ultimately it served its purpose, too. And, you know, it got me that receiving film that I lacked in college that, you know, in turn got me to where I am today. So I'm thankful to both organizations that really just gave me an opportunity to get on tape and to, you know, work my game. So
I looked at the numbers, Jeremy. You caught 19 passes for Utah in the Arena League, 7 of them for touchdowns. Were you the red zone target for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? In arena, it kind of the whole field is kind of the red zone.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
that's true.
But, yeah, I was, I guess you kind of consider me a go-to guy down there. I just displayed, you know, great catching ability. And we had a lot of guys that we could have went to be honest with you. But with my size, it was kind of a no-brainer. And just kind of throw it up, let me big body somebody and make a play. So that's how that worked out there.
The big body is your asset even now in the NFL, I would think, right? 6'6", 230-some pounds?
Yeah. It definitely helps. It helps.
Do people, how did they play it with you with Indy? Do they usually in the red zone? Do they want you to post up guys in the red zone?
Yeah, you know, it's in our offense here, I mean, we do a good job of putting everybody in the position to have success and what they're good at. So a lot of the routes I'm running fit my assets, and it works for me. So, yeah, once we get the opportunity here and get me in the red zone or wherever it is to, you know, get position on people, that's just what I got to do. And I make plays on the ball, and that's that.
You know, Jeremy, you got a pretty good guy to make plays with when you talk about Andrew Luck, one of the great young quarterbacks in the game.
Man, you got that right. He's everything is advertised. Everything is advertised, man. He's great. He's intelligent. He works harder than anybody I know, man. I mean, this guy is in the training room doing extra things. He's on the field early. He really does. He does everything that he needs to do to be successful, and you see it on Sundays.
You got a chance to get a handful of plays in on offense against the Bills last Sunday. What was that like for you, your first NFL preseason game?
Yeah, I got a couple, you know. It was only a handful, you know, and a lot of times, you know, the ball came my way one time and caught it a little too late out of the stands, and, you know, it ended up resulting in a drop. But, you know, you take the good with the bad, and you just move forward with it. But I tell you what, it was an unbelievable feeling coming out. You know, it's something that I had always expected. You know, I've always expected to get to this level. I tell people, you know, they say your dreams come true, you're living your dream, but it wasn't a dream for me. It was always a goal. I knew I was capable of this. So when I got here, it wasn't a shocker to me as it was to some other people. But nonetheless, don't let me downplay it at all. It was an unbelievable feeling coming out of that tunnel. And, you know, against the home field as a hometown team.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been more perfect, man.
Did you hear from a lot of your Buffalo buddies who may have seen you on TV last Sunday?
I did. I had my phone was blowing up all morning. Good luck, this and that. And it was good to catch up with a bunch of guys too after the game. Freddie Jackson and Marcus Easley and a lot of those guys on the team that I keep in touch with. So it's been good, man.
And Jeremy, this week you guys are coming east to play the Giants, right? Sunday night in the Meadowlands. Are you in camp mode still, or are you out of training camp yet?
We're getting ready to break camp tomorrow, actually. We've been blessed, man. The weather out here in Indy has been great. I mean, it was, we were getting a little nervous because during the summertime in OTAs, it was 90 plus.
Yeah.
But it seemed like God was looking out for us because once camp hit, man, it's been, you know, high 70s with a breeze. It's been feeling like some, you know, San Francisco Bay Area. So it's been nice. I can't lie.
What do you need to do to make that roster, Jeremy?
I tell you what, when it comes down to it, you know, the coaches are just looking for consistency. And they want to see that you can play the game of football at a high, fast, physical level. So if you do those things, you know, play fast, physical, and you're consistent with it day in, day out, act as a professional, you're going to find yourself on a roster or practice squad. So that's what it takes, you know. And this is in this business, you know, you really never know what's going to happen because there's a lot of numbers and things involved as well. So you just got to come out, do your best, don't take any days for granted, and make the most of opportunities, man, when they come your way.
Well, we wish you good luck, Jeremy. We'll be following along, and hopefully you do make that roster. And good luck to you. Stay healthy.
John, I appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
Jeremy Kelly, wide receiver, in camp with the Indianapolis Colts, product of West Seneca West High School and the University of Maine, getting a shot to make that 53-man roster with Indy. As we said, they'll be playing on Sunday night against the Giants in the Meadowlands. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Really enjoyed talking with Jeremy Kelly, West Seneca West High School product, trying to hang on with the Indianapolis Colts. Jeremy joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway Restaurants with a special offer for Bills fans. When the Bills score 20 points or more at home this season, visit BuffaloBills.com after all home games at Ralph Wilson Stadium for details. Subway, eat fresh. Visit BuffaloBills.com for some good stuff. We mic'd up and wired up Alex Carrington, Bills defensive lineman. You can catch that right now, a video piece, Alex Carrington, Wired for Sound. It is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. There's also a pretty good written story, text story, about Andre Reed and his coaching stint. He's a minority coaching fellow with the Kansas City Chiefs. So check all of that out at BuffaloBills.com. Again, thanks to Jeremy Kelly for joining us. There is NFL preseason football going on tonight, a couple of Thursday night games. One of them that is on ESPN, the Bears rolling San Diego 14-0. They're in the second quarter. They're in the second quarter in Philadelphia, and the Eagles lead Carolina by a score of 14-6. Second quarter in Cleveland, where the Browns lead Detroit 17-3. Second quarter in Baltimore, where Atlanta leads the Baltimore Ravens 20-7. Preseason football ongoing around the NFL right now. We've got preseason football on the air tomorrow night. Right here on this very station, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings tomorrow night. Pre-game coverage starts at 5 p.m., kickoff 7 o'clock. I'll be there with Mark Kelso in the booth. Joe Biscaglia will be on the sideline. Should be a good, loud, and enthusiastic crowd in the stands for Kids Day, the 13th annual Kids Day. Tickets still available for that, $15. Kids tickets if you're accompanied by an adult. Should be a great night at Ralph Wilson Stadium tomorrow night. Looking forward to watching the game, too, to see how the Bills, if they can follow up their solid performance from a week ago with another good one tomorrow night. One bit of note, bit of news from the Bills today. They released defensive tackle Aaron Tapodi, an undrafted rookie free agent from California, reached an injury settlement and released him from the roster today. He signed with the Bills right after the draft back on April 29th. The Bills on the field at St. John Fisher Fisher College tonight for a day before the game walkthrough, and then they will bus up here to Orchard Park tomorrow and hit the field for the game against the Minnesota Vikings tomorrow night. Hope you get a chance to be with us. Radio coverage only tomorrow night right here on this station. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Make sure you join us Monday night. We'll be back at training camp, at Bills training camp, for three more nights of coverage of the Bills at training camp. But tomorrow night, it's the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings, so join us for that. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Pete Cargis, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.